You have to sense the spiritual atmosphere. Hallelujah. Encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today I will encourage you as Christ followers or Christians that there's got to be a defining moment in your life. One being coming to a point of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, making him your leader and your forgiver, and asking for his blood to be shed upon the cross of Jesus, or the cross of Calvary, to wash you clean and make you whole. And you openly declaring that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. That must be a defining moment in your life, and that will set you on the gateway to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Without that, you are lost. Without that, the enemy can take possession of you. Without that, the enemy can frustrate you. Without that, the enemy can destroy you. Now, the other thing that I would like you to understand, having accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and forgiven leader and followed him and declared it and pleaded his blood upon your life, remember, the enemy will come after you. Now, the next stage is to have an encounter with the Lord. You understand that? Have an encounter with the Lord. Have an encounter, another defining moment where your life will be changed beyond recognition. Some people, their encounters, they have healings. Others, they have deliverance from powers of darkness. Others, they are set free from oppression, addiction, and all sort of things. Others, too, they are liberated from generational curses and other, foul things that people put on them. They are set free. And that encounter is what I'm going to talk about. We must walk in as Christ followers. Hallelujah. And anyone who walk with Jesus Christ must encounter him in such a powerful way that will change your life, that you can actually have the authority, you can have the boldness, and to look at the enemy in the face and the thing that is working against you and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have the authority to reject every negative confession over your life. You have the authority to rebuke anyone who accuses you. Amen. You understand that? You should be brave to do that. But you can only come to that situation when you know Jesus Christ. If I encountered him in a supernatural way, you become fearless. You become fearless because death doesn't mean anything to you. Because Jesus Christ has died and resurrected. And therefore, when you die, you'll rise again. And I stand here as a testimony for you guys that I died in this church and you guys prayed for me to get up, raised from the dead. And I tell you, there's a fine line between life and death. It flicks like a switch of a light. And everything around you, you don't notice. And you are in another world of your own, encountering something, either encountering God or encountering the works of evil. And I thank God that an experience like that would transform your life. Everybody's experience would be different. Paul encountered Jesus Christ, and he was blind. He fell from his horse, and he was changed. Many people encounter God in many ways. And some weeks back, I prayed, I preached here, and I talked to you about Jacob having wrestled with God, having encountered God. He was changed fundamentally, and from that time, he was never the same. And today, I'm talking to you about encountering Jesus. That if you're here and you're a Christ follower, your life must be a life that is changed fundamentally to the point that you are brave, you are bold, not in yourself, not in your own strength, but in the name of Jesus Christ, because you know him. Are you with me? And you will not sit down for any situation to defeat you, because those situations will come nonetheless. They will come because the enemy will try and try and try to humble you, but somehow along the line, it is you who humble yourself, not the enemy. The enemy humbling you, meaning he's shaming you, he's humiliating you, and you have to reject that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And that comes from having an encounter with Jesus. Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth. He was human and visible. yet very few people encountered him. This statement I'm going to make is for you to think whether you fit into any of these categories, that Jesus Christ came to this world as the world, as the one who created the universe. He came to this world as the radiance of the invisible God, yet not many people went near enough to see the light that was in him. And today I'm challenging you, are you near enough to God to see the light that is in him? Are you near to God enough to see the radiance of the invisible God that is coming true? What do people see in you? Are you with me? You see, something is happening in me. I'm hungry for God. Once upon a time, people would stand in front of me and say bad things about me, and say things, and I would just look at them and I'll go away. This time I just look at you and I said, don't try again. Hallelujah. Because the radiance of the invisible God need to come to you, need to come through you. And that is what God wants you to do. He is Jesus Christ, was the creator of all things visible. Yet many people did not acknowledge that. Jesus came to the world as the Messiah, Savior, calling all people to come to him, yet few receive him. The Jewish elders, the leaders, and the priests, and the Pharisees, however, followed him wherever he went. Yet they doubted and questioned everything they saw and everything that Jesus did. And sometimes I'm just challenging you as a Christian, for somebody to have an encounter, the Pharisees were following Jesus. They were always there. Wherever Jesus was, you've been reading the Gospels, haven't you? Wherever Jesus was, you hear that the Pharisees were there. The teachers of the law were there. The priests were there. The Jewish leaders were there. The elders were there. Yet, they were always questioning what Jesus was doing. And how many times that you and me come to church, and yet we always questioning what is going on. And what were they questioning? They were not questioning most of the preach that he was preaching. They were questioning the miracles that he was doing. They were questioning the demons that was being cast out. They were questioning the people who were being set free. They were questioning the signs and the wonders that he was bringing into people's lives. So what are you questioning today? What are you questioning today? Even his close relatives and some in his community even said things like, is this not Jesus whose mother, father, brothers and sisters and we know living with us? It is not Jesus, the carpenter's son. They never took notice of him. And as you see, we are in a world that people actually talk about Jesus. And yet, they don't encounter him. And some of us, sometimes we look at people and thinking, is this not the same Gideon Nash, the guy that we see him around? I'm still physical, right? You were still physical. Paul was still physical. Peter was still physical. But when these people came close to Jesus Christ, something happened. It changed their lives. And today we want to encounter Jesus. Some were oppressed by the devil and evil spirit, but would rather say, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the living God, what will you do with me? That is what they were doing. People who were oppressed by the demons, when they saw Jesus Christ and they encountered him, instead of saying, have mercy on me, some did. But majority of them, he said, what will you do with me? What will you do with me? Because they love to be where they are. They love to have the sympathy of people. They love to have the hugs of people. They want to stay exactly where they are. They don't want no change in their lives. Because they always want to talk to you about themselves, but they don't want no change. You have to encounter Jesus Christ for yourself. Are you hearing me? Turn to somebody and say, you have to encounter Jesus Christ for yourself. Hallelujah. Many saw the signs. They saw the wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw what he performed, but did not believe in him, even though some were godly people. The Pharisees were godly people. The teachers of the law were godly people. The scribes were godly people. The Sanhedrin were godly people, but did they believe Jesus Christ? You see, unbelief will not let you encounter him. You understand that? You have to take Jesus Christ as simply as you see it. You have to take him as simply as you see it, and you have to be hungry for him. Is it not true that Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of the living God, the sovereign God, to preach good news to the poor, to set captives free, release from prison those who are bound, and declare the year of the Lord and the Lord's favor? Is it not true? So if it is the year of the Lord's favor, that means it is in the now. That somehow along the line, wherever you are, you got to experience the year of God's favor. So if you're under oppression, this is the time to say that God, the Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news. So you speak into the situation and experience the year of the Lord's favor. You got to be aggressive, my brothers and sisters. Not in a violent way, not in a physical way. For Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, from the time of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ said this. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent people take it by force. There are people who say, I am not standing for this. I am not taking this no more. I am not letting this oppress me no more. I'm not standing, and I'm not going to be under this illness no more. I'm not going to be sick no more. I'm not going to sit here and see this situation, spiraling into destruction anymore. I am going to be violent in my prayers. I'm going to be violent in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be violent to take his word, and I'm going to speak into the situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it not true that he came to release those who are in prison? Some of you have some addictions that you need to get out of it, and you just talk about it. And you pray 2 minutes and you stop. It's high time we begin to pray and persist in the supernatural, persist in prayer, and say, I'm not going to give up until this prison, I am out of it. Hallelujah. You see, serious criminals, when they go to prison, they don't just stay there and wait. They're always looking for ways to get out. Do you understand that? And then you are sitting down, and some of you are in prison, not physically, but in prison by all sorts of things, and you are sitting down hoping that somebody will come and break the jail for you. Somehow you have to activate something, because if the prisoner wants to break the jail, they have to activate and reconnect with their connections out there so they can do things, and they will have to be talking to them. They will be talking to them, and then at the end of the day, they get out of prison. Isn't that right? Even for a bad purpose, they do that. And you are in prison and you are not talking to the supernatural God. You are not activating your ministering angels who has power to work on your behalf and come and break the jail free to set you free from all manner of addiction, all manner of oppression. For the Spirit of the living God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news and to set the captives free and to release people from prison, those who are bound. And today we are declared acceptable year of the Lord. Is it not true that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one, that we might have life and have it more abundantly? The Bible said he came to destroy the works of the evil one. That was one of his main purposes. Apart from saving people from destruction, he had to destroy the works of the evil one to save them. You understand that? He had to destroy death to save people. He had to destroy Satan to wrench people out of his hand. He had to destroy the works of the evil one. So Jesus Christ is more powerful, is more strong, is stronger. He can just get you free if you are actually hungry to encounter him. Is it not true that in doing so, he healed those who were sick? He cast out demons. He raised the dead, comforted those who were mourned, fed the hungry, empowered his followers to do the same as he himself did. He said, greater works will you do, isn't it? Greater works will you do. And when you read Mark chapter 16, I believe it's chapter 16, right? Verse 16, he said, look, now, for those who believe, these signs will follow them. They shall lay their hands on the sick. They shall heal those who are sick. They shall cast out demons. And they shall raise the dead. And as I said, some of you don't believe. I never knew that raising the dead is that easy. I'm thinking, how come Jesus just said, come out, and they get up? Until I sat back and I started reflecting, I'm thinking, wow, prayers can raise the dead that easy. And I want to remind you, church, in case you've forgotten, 16th of February 2018, it happened here. Ordinary people. They were not apostles and they were not bishops and other things. Ordinary people just praying powerfully. Spiritual energy in the room. It felt like hot water. It felt like fire. And that's what God does. Can we now say that most people who were around or following Jesus would rather be spectators or be happy with gracious words But anything that challenged them to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, they turned away. Because when you look at the account of Jesus Christ, when he quoted Isaiah chapter 61 in Luke chapter 4, after he spoke and said, I now come to declare the name at the day of the Lord's Jubilee. And everybody looked around and said, oh, what a nice word that he said. Oh, this is nice. He's coming to restore our lives and our kingdom. They were so happy. They were so happy. They were so happy until he opened their eyes and said, you guys are just sitting down happy with cozy words. But actually, I came to set captives free. I came to deliver those who are oppressed. I came that people who are in pain will be set free. I came that people who are being troubled will be set free. I came that people's life which is being messed about sometimes by somebody you know or somebody close to you or somebody who doesn't even like you. I came to restore those lives. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did. And when they said that, the Bible said the people were very angry. They said, isn't this Joseph, isn't Jesus, isn't this guy whose father is Joseph the carpenter? They wanted to stone him to death. Because he's telling them about signs and wonders and miracles and what God sent him to do. Only that? And I'm thinking, how long will you guys start stoning me? Hallelujah. Now we know that those who believed in him, even those who received him, were given the power to become the sons of God. That's John chapter, 1 verse 12, isn't it? You see, sometimes we read the Bible and it's so sweet and cozy because it becomes cliche for us, becomes the norm for us. And sometimes we forget the impact that is supposed to have on our lives. That this is when we read it, it's supposed to be true. That those who believe in him, those who receive him, give them the power. Remember, the power to become the children of God. Remember, being the child of the Most High God, being the child of the King of Kings, being the child of the Sovereign Lord, being the child of the Almighty God, the man who created everything. Things. God who opened his mouth and said, let there be, and it happened. Been thinking about that. If I am for God and God is my Father, I know that I have all the treasures in the heavens. I have all the treasures in the earth. I know that I'm following the most powerful person and I bear his name. And wherever I go, everybody must look at me and respect me. Everybody must look at me and show kindness to me because my Father is the King of Kings. Isn't that right? Sometimes I see poor people buying flowers and giving it to the royal family. And I'm thinking, these people have so much money and you're giving it to them too? Because they come from what? The royal family. And you come from the family of the royals. Jesus Christ, the heavenly host. And therefore, people should do good to you just by looking at your face. People should look at you and respect you. Have you ever had many people come around and maybe look at one of the princesses or the queen and then curse them to their face? They could curse the prime minister, but they won't curse the queen, will they? Even those who don't like him will not do it to her face. Cowards. Because they know when they do it, the people around will show them who is king and who is queen. And somehow along the line, you and me, we are the children of the Most High God. And if we are the children of the Most High God, then somehow we have to carry an authority about us and an authority about a power over us. And we have to carry some anointing over us that people can look at us and buy us a bunch of flowers, literally. Without even we asking them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Those who went to Jesus Christ expected something to happen to them. And most of them received healing and miracles. Is that true or not? Are we reading the Bible? Are we reading the Gospels? If we are reading, we see that most people who went to him, they received miracles. Because most people follow him. Why? Because the Bible says, because of the signs. Because of the healings, because of the feedings. He didn't go to Tesco's to buy the bread and the fish. He just made it happen. And many people followed him. And people went and they saw the crumbs and they ate and they were fed. They said, where is he? I want to know him. I want to have my own encounter with him. These are biblical stories, but they are true. So the stories of yesterday, but it's not enough. I want today's story. That's why when Jesus Christ was teaching, he said, give us this day our daily bread. That means that I don't want the bread for yesterday, I want the bread for today. Because in the time of the wilderness, they were having bread every day for 6 days. And then on the sixth day, they have to take double for the next day, so that when the next day comes, they can just eat. So sometimes we are looking for the things that of yesterday, that is supposed to come tomorrow to be seen now. You understand that? You want it now. The provisions that God has made for you, now you want to move into that provision right now. Because God has already made that provision on the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, you have to walk in it. Are you with me? If you walk in it, if you walk in obedience, you will eat of the fruit of the land. That is what the Bible says. So we have to do that. I said, there's something happening in my heart, something happening in my body, something happening in my whole being, and I just want to share with you my heart. Some of you have known me for several years, but I just want to tell you, I don't know how many years I've got to live. It doesn't matter to me if I die tomorrow, maybe my family will be quite distressed. But whatever it is, one thing I know is that whatever days God has given to me, I'm going to encounter him on a daily basis. And I'm going to say, God, it's not enough. It's not enough. I want more. I want more. And when you encounter God, it's for a purpose. It's not just for the spectacle of it. When Paul encountered Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, it was not for the spectacle that people saw him fall from the horse and got blind, but it's for the fact that Jesus Christ said, I've anointed you to be the prophet and the gospel and to go and to preach to the Gentiles. God anointed him with supernatural power that he was doing things that a lot of the people who were even first with Jesus Christ did not do it. Now we know that those who encountered Jesus Christ were never the same. They were never the same. And their lives were changed beyond doubt. Those people who were hungry and thirsty for supernatural encounter, something that would change their realities and destinies, went for Jesus. Anyone who came to Jesus, whether they were blind people, they said, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, like Bartimaeus. And his eyes was open. That was a life-defining moment. Isn't that right? He's never seen before. And he was changed beyond doubt. And that man who was sitting at a temple in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John looked at him and he was begging for bread, begging for money, said, give me money, give me money, give me money. He said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have is in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And this lame man began to walk. His life was changed. His destiny was changed. From that time on, he was even preaching. He was preaching. Guess who he was preaching to? The scribes who've been to university. He was preaching to the prophets. He was preaching to the priests, the vicars, who had all the power and authority of our religion. He was preaching to the Pharisees, who knew what to do, always trying to tell people, you do it that way, or this is the way we do it. In our church, we don't clap, so when you come and clap, oh, that is not of God. In our church, we don't speak in tongues. When you come and speak in tongues, the devil has possessed you. Thank God the devil cannot possess me. I will speak in supernatural language because that is the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. They always tell you, oh, you can't do this. Oh, we don't like this. Oh, this is not the way we do it. Who told you? Jesus Christ wasn't doing things the way that people like it, isn't it? He was always doing something different. So as a man of God and a woman of God, you have to encounter Jesus Christ looking for different things all the time. Expectation of what Jesus Christ can do in your life. Do not settle for where you are. You always have to look for a supernatural encounter, something new, something that will change your reality and destiny. And when that happened, they wanted more. So they followed Jesus and listened to every word that came out of his mouth. These are words that I'm picking from scripture that you guys have been reading from the Bible, isn't it? Hallelujah. Jesus is always on the move, thinking, oh gosh, when am I going to get into this? See, I prepared a message, and this morning I just praying, and I couldn't get traction. So somehow along the line, I knew God wanted me to realign the message, but so that I can preach what God wants you to have, to be blessed by it. So I'm not a type I'm quite conservative. I'm not a type that I just get up and say, oh, let me go. In case God give me some message, then I'll go and preach to them. I don't do that. I prepare because I know you people are precious, and to give you a Sunday to be here is precious. You could have gone to the park, you could have gone done to do something. But being here is a sacrifice. And therefore, you have to be given something that will edify, lift your soul up, and that will feed you in the name of Jesus. And therefore, I have to prepare something. So Jesus is always on the move. And the story, as we told in John chapter 4, can you guys preach something instead of looking all the way about? You got to learn to encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. So, somehow along the line, Jesus was on the move. He's always been on the move. And this time was moving from Judea. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but the disciples. When the Lord learned that, no, is that the right word? When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his sons. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is it that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flock and his herd?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water dwelling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "And I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not yours. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you, I am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one dared to ask, "What do you want, woman? Or why are you talking with her, Jesus?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" Jesus replied, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying goes, one sows and another reaps. It's true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. A few more verses and I'll be done. Keep going. Verse 39 and 40 got missing, right? Thank you. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of this world." Amen. You see, I've taken time to read a little bit for you so that, you know that we are talking from the Bible. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus Christ is always on the move. Jesus Christ was on his way from Judea to Galilee, but needed to go through Samaria, a land regarded as sinner's habitation. Jesus is always on the move, passing through where people are needy, where people have needs, and he needs to meet them. You understand that? Jesus is always on the move. And the question is, do you know that he's on the move? If you don't know now, I want you to understand that the resurrected Christ is always on the move by his Spirit. He's among you and he's working around you. And he's looking for sinners to save. He's looking for people whose life are crooked to make them straight. He's looking for people who have needs and they will cry to him for him to meet those needs. He's looking for people who say, "Jesus Christ, son of David, have mercy on me," and you have mercy on them. He's looking for people who are possessed by demons and you cast them out. He's looking for people who are confused and you set them free. He's looking at people who the enemy is, psychologically damaging them to restore their lives. And are you in that pathway? Are you in that pathway? He's always in the move. And you have to put yourself in that pathway. The way to put yourself in that pathway is to begin to open your mouth, to begin to talk. You've got to be in that place, right? You've got to be hungry for water. You've got to be hungry to go and dig those wells. You have to be hungry to go and fetch those waters. You have to be hungry to go to those places. That water has been there for years so that you can get a living water. Are you with me? You've got to be hungry to be in that place. You've got to be hungry to be in the church where the Spirit of God is. You've got to be hungry to be in a place where people are praying to actually to infest the spiritual atmosphere and release the power of God to come. You've got to be in such places. Hallelujah. And you've got to create them in your own home too, where you can wake up and you can pray and you can pray and you can pray and say, "This is my holy ground. This is my holy ground." Any demon that comes in will know that this is your holy ground, and they will shriek and fly. And anything that is bothering you will shriek and fly because this is your holy ground. And your holy ground, you don't just go and stand attention like you are in a monastery. You go there and you are happy. You are battling. You are battling. You are fighting. You are taking things by force, and you are actually declaring the name of God, and you are looking at things and said, "I cast you out. I forbid your work. I refuse your work. I set myself free in the name of Jesus." And you are declaring, and you are declaring, and you are declaring, and you are declaring in Jesus' name. We've got to be in that way. Jesus is always on the move, passing through those places, and your needs need to be met. Because Jesus Christ, that's what he offers, solutions to life where the natural sense and logic can't solve it, right? Sometimes logic can't solve it. I believe in medication. Please don't get me wrong. I believe in tablets. I believe in injections. I believe in everything. I believe in doctors. I believe in nurses. I believe in therapists. I believe in everybody, right? But sometimes they get to a point they can't solve the situation. And when they can't solve the situation, that means logic, science, evidence, experience can't do it. What we need is a supernatural encounter. And supernatural encounter is to ask Jesus Christ to be in the situation and say, Jesus, I want to encounter you. Like the lady at the well, I want to encounter you. I want to encounter you and come in and give me that living water. Give me that living water and set me free. And set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ wants to offer solutions to life where the natural sense and logic can't solve. Jesus was sat where Jacob's well was. And I just want to bring your mind to something that you need to know. That a place where Jacob had had an encounter with God and received a blessing. That was a place that he had an encounter with God and received a blessing. And eventually when he came to settle, he dug a well. And he drank from it. His children drank from it. His cattle drank from it. Their fathers drank from it. Because they know this is a place of an encounter, right? This is the place of encounter. And I mean, for a whole night, Jacob was encountering God, was struggling with God, was praying. And said, I will never let you go until you bless me. And sometimes you and me need to get into that point. I mean, in spite of the heaviness, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the shackles that is holding us back, we want to be set free, create that holy place, create that well place, be at the well, and pray, encounter God, and let Jesus Christ, who is on the move, we'll come and meet you there. When Jacob encountered God, he received a blessing. That patch of land was open to supernatural. And as Jesus Christ sat there, he built a supernatural atmosphere for a miracle to happen. That place was open for the supernatural. That ground was open for the supernatural. So that woman was going every day to that place. And she never knew that was open for the supernatural. And yet, Jesus Christ came and he sat there. He said he was enthroned. That is one of the things that Jesus Christ will enthrone you. That means come and settle. Come and be there. Come and make your habitation there. So when he came, he took control. Take control. We sang it. Take control here and now. And it wasn't for tomorrow. It was here and now for that woman. So when Jesus Christ took control of the spiritual atmosphere, when she came, it was the recipe for a miracle. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Are we ready for miracles? That is what we said. That is what it happened. She was ready to encounter the supernatural, was ready for a miracle because the spiritual atmosphere was right. As a woman of Samaria came by, Jesus started to speak to her. The spiritual atmosphere was right to meet the lady's deepest need. We see here that the woman of Samaria was rather focusing on her own story, history. What was not normal in her circumstances and tradition. Most people find normal and easier to focus on our challenges of life instead of what the Lord will do. So when Jesus Christ said, give me to drink, he said, but you have no cup. You have nothing to dwell. Our fathers drank from this place and you want to give me eternal life. And it's like, you don't understand, Jesus. I've had 5 husbands, bad guys. They all left me. And I've decided that I've had enough, no more marriage. I'm going to live with him, whether you like it or not. I know your word doesn't approve it, but that's what I'm doing. And that is her story, right? And yet Jesus Christ looked at her and said, that is not the issue for me. I know that is your reality, but that is not as important as you encountering God. You understand that? And sometimes we are more interested in being religious and pointing people's sin to them. Oh, this is your sin, this is your sin, this is your sin. That is more important to us. What is important to us? Of course, sin is not good because sin is what weighs you down. Because Paul said, let's cast aside every weight that encumbers us. Every weight and sin that encumbers, that means sin can weigh you down. It prevents you from having your anointing, prevents you from having an encounter. So cast it aside. But that is not the main issue of man. The main issue of man is for us to encounter Jesus Christ so that we will know God, so that we'll be set free. And when you are set free, you know what? The sin goes away. It goes away by itself because you have no desire for them anymore. He changes the situation. Jesus Christ did not give her a new husband, did he? But he gave her something that was more precious to her, that she had to run to the city and said, come and see. Now this time she stopped focusing on her problem and said, look, my father, you know what? I'm a Samaritan woman. I'm not supposed to be talking to you because you Jews don't talk to people like this. She stopped actually putting herself down. By this time, suddenly she said, "Give me this drink." Suddenly she wants more. Suddenly she wants supernatural encounter. Suddenly she wants deeper, deeper, deeper anointing from Jesus Christ. Suddenly nothing matters. The Bible says she left her bowl there. She came to drink, to fetch water, isn't it? Did you think she forgot? She left it because it was not important anymore. She's got something better, something deeper. Something is welling up in her body. Something is welling up in her belly. Something is moving you. Something is moving you that you can't stand still. And sometimes when we see people, maybe dancing or something, swagging here and there, think, oh, it's a Baptist church. We don't do that. Something is welling up in them. Hallelujah. Something is moving. Thank you. Something is moving, and therefore they cannot stand still. They're not weirdos. Something is happening in the supernatural, and they are responding to it. And it doesn't mean that everybody who does that means that the person has been filled with the Holy Spirit. Somehow along that we have to be discerning things as we go along, right? So somehow along the line, just allow yourself for the Spirit of God to move you. The anointing was moving in her and said, "Come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see." And how many of us have actually gone into that situation? And I'm looking for a time, not only women, but men too, who'll be filled with the Holy Spirit in this church. And by their hands, miracles will happen. By their hands, they will heal people. By their hand, the dead will rise. By their hand, demons will be cast out. I'm looking for men and women. And I want to encourage you, if you've not traveled, you're not on holidays, the next 3 Sundays, don't miss it. Because we're going to have a supernatural encounter. And we're going to pray. And we're going to receive from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Don't stay at home. The woman didn't stay at home. She went to the well where Jesus Christ has created a spiritual atmosphere for supernatural miracles to happen. From that time, that woman was never the same. Come and see. And people ran. And they came. And when they came, said, "Could he be the Christ?" She has even over very limited revelation. The bit that she got, she was ready to tell everybody. Limited revelation. And somehow, she went to tell the people, and they all came and said, "Now you don't have to tell us. Because we ourselves have heard him. We've seen what he done. And we have also probably been filled with the Holy Spirit. And somehow along the line, we are fed with it." And they even said, "Jesus, stay with us a few more days." The whole village, who would have listened to her? I'm sure they'll be saying, "Oh, gosh, that is Sister XYZ. We know her life. Her life is not worth talking about. Her life is not writing home about. Who will listen to her?" But the whole town, the Bible said they listened to her. What has changed? She had an encounter with Jesus Christ. People will begin to hear you. People will begin to listen to you because you are the child of the Most High God and you have met the God of miracles. You have met Jesus Christ, the one who let the Spirit well up in you to eternal life. And somehow we have to desire, "Give me this water. Give me this water. Give me this water. Give me this water in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can I have the musicians here? Hallelujah.